Queen's Community Church Lent Podcast. Thanks for taking the time to listen today. It's Kevin here, and today we're looking at a passage entitled Jesus Heals an Official's Son. This is from John chapter 4, starting from verse 46, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says this: As Jesus travelled through Galilee, he came to Canaan, where he had turned the water into wine. There was a government official in nearby Capernaum whose son was very sick. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son, who was about to die. Jesus asked, "Will you never believe me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders?" The official pleaded, "Lord, please, come now before my little boy dies." And Jesus told him, "Go back home, your son will live." And the man believed what Jesus said and started home. While the man was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. He asked them when the boy had begun to get better, and they replied, "Yesterday afternoon, at 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared." Then the father realized that that was the very time Jesus had told him, "Your son will live." And he and his entire household believed in Jesus. This was the second miraculous sign Jesus did in Galilee after coming from Judea. I'd like to think about this passage from the point of view of three different people or groups of people that encountered Jesus during this story. Firstly, the government official. We know only a little about him, but his encounter with Jesus perhaps prompts the greatest response and change. We're told at the start of the story that the official, having heard that Jesus was in Galilee, has travelled from nearby Capernaum to seek Jesus out and ask him to heal his sick son. I can barely imagine the man's situation, with his son so ill and close to dying. Likely he has tried everything to cure his illness and make the boy better. No doubt he would have tried all the remedies known to the times, had sent for every physician that could be found within miles of Capernaum, consulted other parents and his friends and family, yet was still at a loss to aid his son. He must have been pretty much at his wit's end and beside himself with worry and concern for his son, and no doubt feeling somewhat helpless and powerless as to what he could do. Then he catches news that Jesus is in Canaan. He evidently knows of Jesus and has heard of some of the things that Jesus has already done. And this leads the man to believe that Jesus can heal his son, a glimmer of hope. And so he sets out on the 20 or so mile journey from Capernaum to Canaan. This man's motivation fascinates me. I don't know about you, but I really struggle to imagine being so motivated that he would leave his dying child and set out on foot to travel roughly equivalent to the distance from Stirling to Glasgow in the hope of meeting Jesus. But that's exactly what he did, motivated by the belief of what Jesus could do. You might say that the reports about Jesus that the official had heard and believed created a spark of faith within him, enough to cause him to personally seek out Jesus. So we can only then imagine his disappointment as it became apparent that Jesus wasn't going to return to Capernaum with him. The official has travelled for what was probably the best part of a day in the heat and across hill country with the express purpose of getting Jesus to come back with him. Jesus knows this. He sees that the man is blinkered and has the way he wants to see Jesus act set in his mind. But Jesus has a different way of answering this man's heartfelt plea, one that fans the spark of faith into something more. Jesus' gentle rebuke is perhaps something of a test. Does this man only believe because of what Jesus can do? Or does he also believe in Jesus? His perseverance in asking again is telling, and when Jesus then speaks, proclaiming that the son will live, the official's response is to believe what Jesus has said, and he demonstrates that belief by starting for home. I'm not sure, had it been me, that I would have been 100% certain of the boy's health, and I wonder what thoughts were circulating in the official's head on that long journey home. That is, until he's greeted with the sight on the horizon of a group of his servants rushing to meet him. I wonder again, what was his first thought? Did he fear the worst? But what rejoicing there must have been when the good news was revealed. We know that the official's thoughts return to Jesus as he questions his servants about when his son had begun to make his miraculous recovery. And as he comes to fully realise that Jesus has indeed acted and healed his son, that spark that Jesus had kindled burst into flame, not only consolidating the man's belief in Jesus, but also sparking faith in his entire household. For me, the lesson here is that first we act on Jesus' word in faith, and then we see the results in our lives. For the servants in the official's household, this must have been an extraordinary experience too, and I want to spend a few moments thinking about their encounter with Jesus. Again, I think this is something of a story of a growing faith. No doubt they too would have known of Jesus before this time, and maybe they approved of the official setting off to seek out Jesus. But I wonder if some of them felt abandoned, left to care for the dying boy. It must have been terribly difficult, watching his condition deteriorate, fearing the worst, and dreading having to break the news to the official on his return. Then suddenly, the boy's condition improves, and as it becomes apparent that the boy was going to live, I can just imagine the joy and excitement overflowing as they would want to rush to tell their master the good news. I'm sure that the official received the good news with a great deal of relief, but you know, he had believed Jesus when he told him, "Your son will live." So it would not be as much a great a surprise to the official as perhaps the servants would have been expecting. That would have puzzled me if I'd been telling someone great news and they were acting as if they kind of already knew. How could he possibly already know? And then the story is recounted of what Jesus has said at exactly the same moment in time as the boy's recovery. They'd begin to realise the source of the miraculous healing, begin to set the kindling that catches off the official's exuberance as he fully grasps who Jesus is and shares that with his entire household. Lastly and briefly, I wonder how this encounter affected the onlookers and observers in Canaan. We're told in the few verses immediately prior to the start of this passage that the Galileans welcomed Jesus, for they had been in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration and had seen everything he did there. So I reckon there would most likely have been crowds following wherever Jesus went, and they would have been present during this encounter between Jesus and the official. How would they feel seeing Jesus rebuke this man, and as far as they could see, deny performing the miracle? We're told too that Jesus himself had recognised that the Galileans' welcome was based only on the things he did, not on who he was. And there is some speculation that Jesus' rebuke is actually directed more at these crowds. There's parallels in my mind with Doubting Thomas, where John says, "Then Jesus told him, 'You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me.'" I wonder just how many of the crowds who had seen Jesus believed his word that the official's son would live, in contrast to the servants in the official's household who believed in Jesus without seeing him. I wanted to finish with an excerpt from a Charles Spurgeon sermon on this passage that I think is a rather fitting summary. He says, "This narrative illustrates the rise and progress of faith in the soul. While I try to speak of it, I pray that we may experimentally follow the track, desiring that such faith may have a rise in our hearts, may make progress in our spirits, and may become even stronger in us than it was in this nobleman. The point, my brethren, is not to hear about these things only, but to have them repeated in your own soul. We want to come to real business and to make the things of God matters of downright fact to ourselves. Not only to hear about this nobleman from Capernaum or anybody else, but to see in our own souls the same work of grace as was wrought in them. The same living Christ is here, and his help we as greatly need as ever did this nobleman. May we seek it as he sought it, and find it as he found it. Thus will the Holy Spirit, who inspired the narrative before us, be found writing it over again, not upon the pages of a book, but upon the fleshy tablets of our hearts." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this passage that we've barely scraped the surface of. I thank you for the miracle of healing the official's son that reveals a deeper meaning about you. I want to echo that prayer of Spurgeon and pray that we may experimentally follow the track, desiring that such faith may have a rise in our hearts, may make progress in our spirits, and may become even stronger in us than it was in this nobleman. We so easily find ourselves lost in our circumstances and are quick to think of our own way out of them. Teach us to trust you, Lord. May we look to you first in relationship, that our belief may come as a byproduct of that relationship with you. Help us today to not only hear your word, but also to count it as more certain than our circumstances. Let our hearts be so convinced of your word that we believe even before seeing the outcome. I ask for your blessing on everyone listening today. In Jesus' name.